Well, brothers and sisters and friends, we've got a really beautiful, wonderful truth to consider this morning that I hope will really capture your heart the way that it's captured mine. And it's the truth of the kindness of God. That the Lord our God is kind. He's kind. That this is who God is. He's compassionate and he's loving, he's generous, he's caring and considerate towards his creatures. The Bible says that the Lord abounds in loving kindness. And that word abounds is so precious, it means it's a boundary bursting, immeasurable, overflowing loving kindness. That's who God is. When the Lord gives us a sacred name that we're to call him by as his people, in most English Bibles it appears as the Lord in capital letters. But then when he spoke to Moses, he explained what that name means. That he is the Lord, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in loving kindness. That is who God is. Now, I'm convinced today one of the biggest difficulties we face as Christians is just that people have completely the wrong idea about who God is and what he is like. There's so many half-truths and misunderstandings about him and what the Bible says about him, but I want you to know for sure, God is not only all good and all powerful and unchanging and eternal and all wise, but he's also kind. In our passage that we heard from Titus in chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, "But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, he saved us." And it explains how he saved us, but it's referring there to the Lord Jesus Christ, to his coming into the world and his appearing. His coming to us is the revealing and the appearing of God's kindness towards man. The Lord Jesus is the embodiment. He is God's kindness made flesh come to us. So just very simply, this is the theme I want us to consider this morning, and how the Lord shows his kindness. And I hope it will just simply make you love God more and inspire you to show kindness. I mean, isn't that really what our whole mission week this week is about? We want to show people the kindness, the loving kindness of God. Well, obviously, there's so much that you could say about God's kindness. You could turn to any page in the Bible, really, but to guide our thoughts, I want to suggest there are really three main ways God shows us his kindness. First in creation, second in covenant, and third in Christ. So the Lord reveals his kindness to you in creation, covenant, and Christ. So the first way, just to consider together, is how God shows his kindness in creation. And that every day, as I was saying to the children, every day God is kind to us. Not just good, not just fair. He's kind. He gives us life. Not just that he created the world in the beginning, but that at every moment God sustains the world. He upholds all of life and makes everything work and hold together. And so in that sense, in the way that he orders the world, fills it with life, we're just surrounded by countless acts of his kindness all the time. The Bible says he sends the rain to make the crops grow. He makes the sun rise. He puts breath into your lungs. Just the very fact we exist as his creation is the most tremendous gift of kindness. Because God is perfect, complete within himself. He doesn't need anything. He could be eternally in himself, perfectly happy in all his fullness, and yet in overflowing kindness, he created us so that we could know him and be blessed by him, so that we could glorify him. And it's not just that God gives us life in a birth sense. He's not made the world a utilitarian kind of empty place, just like a machine that it just does what it functions to do. No, he's filled life with good things to enjoy. He's made the world a beautiful place. It's full of glowing sunsets, a sparkling night sky. Or when you go up on the top of a mountain and you get a beautiful view. He designed that. He made that. He's blessed us with food, as hopefully we're about to enjoy together. Good tasting, sweet food. That it's not just that God created food that nourishes us, but we can enjoy it and the smell and the taste of it. He has created a world that's full of love and laughter and life. And every time you feel like the warmth of the sun on your face, or the breeze gently brushing your face, it is a gift of his kindness. See, there is this terrible deception, this lie that we are up against today, that says that the world just maintains itself, that food grows and the sun shines as a kind of mindless mechanical system. And just because science does know a lot today about how these things work and how they might fit together, that is taken too far as if to say that explains the why and the origin and the source of all of these things, which science cannot do. But to think that these things just happen all by themselves, it's not true. Everything at every moment is sustained and is under the oversight of God, and he is present in all his creation and working in it. And this is his kindness to us. Now, one of the main points the Bible makes about this creation kindness is that it is universal. God is kind to everyone this way. There's not a single human being who has ever existed, or even a single creature that has not experienced the kindness of God in this way. Not one. It says a little bit further on in Psalm 145 than we sang, it says, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord upholds all who fall, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works." So that means that God is even kind to his enemies. God is kind to wicked, ungrateful, evil people. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says that he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. And he is kind to the unthankful and evil. The Apostle Paul made the same point in Acts 14. Paul had gone to preach to pagans in Lystra who were worshipping idols and all kind of man-made images, and he calls on them to worship the only true God. And he says to them, "God did not leave himself without witness in that he did you good. He showed kindness. He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." So even to these people who knew nothing of the one true God, Paul says, but actually he's been speaking to you the whole time. constantly giving you these gifts and these blessings, showing you his kindness. And they all point to him. So this kindness of God is all the more astonishing when you think about how ungrateful the world is. How little thanks God gets for this. How sinful we are as mankind. You know, imagine you've got a guest coming to your home and you spend a couple of weeks really preparing to make it the best place for them. You know, fresh coat of paint. You clean to the nth degree. You maybe get, you know, some new fancy bed linen. You get all the food in that they like. You do everything you can to make it a wonderful place for them. And then they come in, never once say thank you, put up some big muddy boots on the furniture, and slowly they start trashing the place. There's days when they don't even acknowledge your existence. They don't speak to you. They just go about doing their own thing as if it's their place. You'd be pretty offended. I mean, how long would your patience last before you threw them out? But that's the situation we're in. This is God's world. And he's filled it with all these kind things for us. And one of our greatest sins is that we do not thank him. We do not acknowledge him. Moreover, in Romans chapter 2, it says that the kindness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. And it's meaning here, the kindness in creation, the kind of things I've been describing. He says it's meant to lead us to repentance. That when you experience so many blessings from God, shouldn't that soften your heart and make you search for him? Stop fighting against God. Stop disobeying him. And yet, so often people just harden their hearts. And we end up storing up wrath and judgment against ourselves. And so it's an amazing thing that God is kind in this way. I know that some people might say, well, I look at the world and I don't see much kindness. I see a lot of suffering. I see death. I see the evils of the world. There's cancer. There's war. Where's God's kindness in creation in all of that? Well, actually, the Christian response is that all those evils only serve to highlight how kind God is. Because the truth is the reverse of what the objection is trying to claim. Because the sorry truth is that we are to blame for all those evils in the world. We have rejected him as creator. We have rebelled. We have broken his laws. We have unleashed sin and death that follows on the world. And so having ruined all the good world that he's given us and filled it with all these things, is it not even more amazing that God continues to be kind to us as sinners and sustain the world and still fill it with so much that's good? It actually testifies to his kindness. And so on this first point, just very simply, when you think about God's kindness in creation, do you thank him? Do you really take in and marvel how kind he is to you every day? The Lord is kind. But then, this brings us to our second point, the second way he's kind. And if anything, this is an even greater kindness. God shows us covenant kindness. Now, probably as most of us know, when we speak about having a relationship with God, the Bible's way of putting that is that we are in a covenant with him. He's entered into a binding promise, a commitment to us, to us as his people, his church. And to really know God and have a relationship is to be in a covenant. And God is calling out of the world, out of the whole human race, a special, unique people to be his own, a people who know him, who will praise him and do his will, the church, a holy people, his covenant people, who have this special covenant relationship with God. And one of the main things the Bible says about this covenant, what's bound up together in the very nature of it, is that God shows his loving kindness to his people in this relationship. An even higher, deeper, greater kind of kindness to us as his own. Do you know, any good man will try and be kind to everyone, to even a stranger on the street. But he's going to have a deeper kind of loving kindness to his own family. And so it is with God's covenant people. There's this loving kindness. Again, you probably know that there's a very important Hebrew word in the original writings of the Bible, chesed. And that's the word that's translated in our Bibles, sometimes as mercy, sometimes as truth or faithfulness and steadfast love, and often, and I think best, as his loving kindness. And it's a word that it's difficult to capture its meaning in just one English word. But it means loyal love. An unchanging commitment. It means doing good in a generous way and to carry on doing good. It's closely linked with being patient, long-suffering, forbearing. So God is patient with his people in all their faults and their sins, slow to anger. And we're taught that because there is this special faithful love from God that he's never going to go back on, that he'll never desert us, he'll never abandon us, he's going to continue to show us good as his children. That we are to praise him for this. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His loving kindness endures forever. In Psalm 63, King David says, your loving kindness is better than life. So my lips will praise you. To be in such a relationship with God and have him blessing you and loving you and this loving kindness. David says that's better than anything else in life. Do you believe that, Christian? Have you tasted of that? Does your heart go, I know that that's true. Because if you have God as your God, you have everything better than life. Now, all of that is to say, I think that sadly the word kindness has lost a lot of its meaning today. Certainly in much of the world, it's become almost a bit of a trite slogan. Just be kind. Isn't that what you see online? Just be kind. And they've reduced kindness there to mean be nice. You know, just be polite. And a lot of it's just virtue signaling, just performative. It doesn't cost anything to say be kind. But what this word loving kindness, God's covenant kindness shows you, is that real kindness is so much more. It's about persisting, being faithful, doing good to someone at all times, especially when they don't deserve it. Holding on to them at their worst. It's not a weak thing. It's not a light thing. It's a powerful expression of goodness. To freely give to someone who maybe gives nothing in return. This kind of kindness is a powerful thing. And it is this loving kindness that God calls us to show as Christians to other people. And especially to one another as Christians. By their love for one another, the world will know that these are my disciples. And I'm sure that by love there, the Lord is really saying loving kindness, the kind that we're talking about. As it says in Ephesians 4, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So brothers and sisters, it's not just are you truthful to one another, are you faithful to one another, are you kind to one another? Are you kind to fellow Christians? Are you easy on other Christians? Forgiving and helpful. And actually, maybe in everything we hope to do this week, as we seek the Lord together, maybe what will have the most powerful impact on the people we meet is hopefully they're going to see this kindness, not only how we treat them, but how we love one another. That we've come from such different places and backgrounds, but we love one another in Christ. Well, I pray we're going to feel it. It's going to be in all that we do this week. Let me give you just, there's a wonderful example of this kind of covenant kindness in the Bible, in the life of King David. You don't have to, but if you want to turn to 2 Samuel and chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9 tells us about David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Now at this point, David had become king over Israel, and he's really at the height of his power. The land is at peace under his rule, there is prosperity, and this is the real high point. And this is the point when David says to his servants, "Is there anybody left in the house of Saul that I can be kind to?" Now, Saul had been David's rival. He'd been the king before him, and he was a wicked man, and he'd even tried to murder David and stop him coming to the throne as God wished. Well, Saul has died, and his family mostly died and scattered, and David's saying, "Is there anyone left that I could show kindness to?" Now, normally in the ancient world, once a king is settled and he's really in power and control, if he asks, "Is there anybody left in my rival's family?" you know why he's asking. Because he's going to chop their heads off. He's going to say, "Well, bring them here," and that's the end of that threat, once and for all. Nobody's ever going to challenge me again. But look what David, as God's man, as God's king, does. They find out there's this one man, Mephibosheth, left. He's living in poverty, and he's lame, he's paralyzed. And he brings him in, and David blesses him. He gives him all the lands that once belonged to Saul. He invites him to the king's table. That means he adopts him into his own family, into a place of honor. And that all his life, David will care for him and provide for him. And so David does this incredible thing of blessing someone who comes from the line of his enemy. Now, crucially, why does David do it? Well, it's because of that word kindness, chesed. He's showing loving kindness. And if you look at verse 1, he says, "I want to show this kindness for Jonathan's sake." Jonathan was Saul's son, David's friend, Mephibosheth's father. David and Jonathan made a covenant together, a binding expression of their friendship and love for one another, both as believers. And in honoring that, that's why David says, "I'm going to show kindness to Mephibosheth through the generations." See, it's about loyalty, generosity, grace, mercy. That's the kindness that's meant to mark God's people. So I challenge you. God willing, we might meet people who are hostile to the faith, who maybe their lives are full of problems and needs. Let's show them the loving kindness of God. Let's invite them to the king's table, to the table of Jesus Christ, and tell them they're welcome in his family. Let's bestow gifts on them freely, because we're showing the loving kindness of God. And so that brings us just very briefly but finally to the greatest kindness in Christ, and what those verses in Titus were saying to us. We ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. I mean, isn't that the most awful description of what human beings can be like? Of the world in sin? And the world is a pretty grim place right now. I mean, you've probably seen, if you follow anything in social media, there's that awful poem, "When the English Began to Hate," that's becoming viral now and going on because of all the turmoil in the country. What an awful thing. But there's so much cruelty. There's such a coldness out there. Love of many grown cold. And we were once part of all of that. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, through Jesus Christ, he pours out the Holy Spirit on us, he regenerates us, he washes us clean. God responded to man's deepest hate and its worst sin with overwhelming kindness. And a kindness so great, it overcomes man's hate. On the cross, man in his wickedness and fury and malice was pouring out hatred at Jesus Christ. Hatred at God. But what was God doing? He was laying down his life to save us, to redeem us from ourselves, from our bondage in sin. He was dying to give us eternal life. And as they're hurling insults at Jesus on the cross and mocking him, he's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. As Romans 5 puts it, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. This is the full measure of God's kindness. That for you as a sinner, he gave up his Son to save you, to change you and bring you back to him. That's the loving kindness of God we're here to declare. And we invite everyone to know for themselves.